This week on Retro Movie Geek.
You ain't gonna believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. And the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Welcome to Retro Movie Geek, the podcast for those who love to geek out about all things retro movie related. I am Joel, and I am joined by two of my favoritest retro movie geeks in the whole wide world. Daryl.
Yes, Job Turkey.
And Peter.
That was one goddamn good intro.
Thank you, Peter. And I would like to point out that what Daryl just said may make no sense if I've changed out the theme song since we were to record this. But that is okay in a way. It I don't know. It still feels right for some reason because I am indeed a jive turkey. So
yes,
we are a retro-related podcast. If you were familiar, or are, because it's not past tense, familiar with the other show that we dabble in, Forgotten Flicks, you will know that we tend to love all things retro, primarily 80s, and obviously, based on the movie we'll be discussing in this episode, 70s, and we get into the 90s as well. So pretty much anything 20 years or older is fair game. Why did we start this show? Well, because A, I care apparently too much about the fact that in Forgotten Flicks, when we say cover a movie like, oh, I don't know, Rocky, it just doesn't feel right. Because it ain't forgotten, not by a long shot. And that bugs me for some reason. So I thought, you know, let's do something where it's got, you know, it's still Forgotten Flicksy in a way, but it's its own thing. And we can talk about bigger movies, movies that aren't forgotten. And I'd still like to try to find movies that maybe people aren't championing as much as others. But still, again, the Rockies of the world are going to fall in this bucket. So, yes, that is the movie, the primary movie, the main event of this inaugural episode of Retro Movie Geek. It is Rocky, and as we will find as the conversation continues on, will be the entire Rocky series. We will talk about Rocky 2, 3, 4, 5, Rocky Balboa, and we'll dabble in a little bit of Creed, though I think, Peter, you still haven't seen Creed, correct?
I haven't seen it yet, for two reasons. One, it hasn't premiered yet, and two, it hasn't premiered yet.
Oh, well, there's that.
January 22.
Okay, well, because of that, though, because Creed has not premiered yet in your neck of the woods, we will not spoil it for you, because unlike people who are listening in where if Daryl and I accidentally screwed up and spoiled something, I could bleep it or cut it, you would not be as fortunate. So, well, high level.
Yeah, I don't really mind that much.
I do.
Well, there's not much to spoil.
Well, that's true. Okay, that's true.
basically the same, all of them.
We're going to touch on it because, in my opinion, I some people call it Rocky VII. I do not think so. It's not Rocky's story.
No.
No, but you wanted, you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, something that that'll explain the last punches that Apollo and Rocky exchanges in the third one.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I've been pondering that, and I hate you for not telling me.
Yes.
So you will now.
Oh.
Later.
Okay. Okay. Maybe when we hang up, that'll be how we...
That would be nice. Thank you.
Okay. He can't wait.
So...
Before we move forward, I do want to say, obviously, it's a new show. Hopefully, you're listening to this because you also listen to Forgotten Flicks. And at the moment, this first episode is in the Forgotten Flicks feed. I don't know how many of these I will put in the feed. I might put all of the first several until Forgotten Flicks comes back. I don't know yet. So in the meantime, if you are so inclined to leave positive feedback or reviews on iTunes for Retro Movie Geek, we would greatly appreciate it if you do that. It helps people find the show, and you know, it strokes our ego a bit, and we love that always, especially Peter. You know, he's an egomaniac, and it's a joke.
Oh, okay.
We all know it's Daryl that's the egomaniac.
Well, I like a bit of stroking myself.
Yes, we all do.
I used to like stroking.
I've been stroking. You remember that song? Who's that? Clarence? Oh, what was the guy's name?
I'm black. I do remember that song.
That's what I've been doing. I've been stroking to the east. Speaking of stroking, how's this for a transition? Speaking of stroking, we are going to bring back something that in the early days of Forgotten Flicks, Jason and I, my former co-host, we had a segment where we had voicemail feedback where listeners could call in and tell us about the movie we had covered earlier, one of the movies, or maybe one of our upcoming movies, or even the movie we were going to be covering in that episode. And we would address their feedback, and usually they'd point out how I had said something wrong, which I always appreciate.
Yeah.
And
you love it.
We are bringing that back. I set up a Google Voice account, so the quality is, you know, it is what it is, but you can still leave feedback. If for some reason you do not want your voice on the show, all you have to do is when you leave your voicemail, just say, hey, please, you know, you can, you know, use my first name, but don't use my voice, or, you know, use my voice, but...
But why would you call if you don't want your voice?
Some people just want to give their, you know,
and
hey...
if you don't want to have their voices on the...
When they just send an email or something?
Yeah, but that's exactly. That's extra work. That's extra work. I mean, voicemail is like, dial in, boom, boom, hey, this is what I thought. But obviously, I...
So are we going to bleep out their voices?
No. Yeah, that'd be great. When I just... So I'm going to play the voicemail now. Beep!
Well, that works.
So if you are so inclined to leave voicemail about this first movie we're covering, and we'll actually tease out what the next couple of movies will be, at least the next one, so you can leave voicemail about that as well. The number is 484-577-3876. And I know with Google Voice, I believe any the countries in North America, there's no fee, and I want to say from what I did in my little research on it, even if there is some sort of international fee, it was literally like 1 cent a minute, if that. I don't even know if there may not be. I don't know. So just be aware there may be some extra charge. Peter, were you ever charged when you called in under to test it? Do you recall? Were you charged additionally?
I have no idea. I haven't gotten the bill yet, so I don't know.
Okay. So there you go. So
Could
and Peter's in Sweden, and he's calling me. So there you go. If you're
committed, not committed, but committed to the, never mind.
We know what you mean. So if you are committed to leaving your voicemail feedback, having your voice heard as a fellow retro movie geek, call 484-577-3876. And as things progress forward, I'd like to do, you know, some games, some fun little, you know, prizey type things, and voicemail may come into play with that, or even reviews. So, you know, hey, please do it.
Yeah, big plans.
I do. Always.
Didn't you see the notes he left for us to do? There are a lot of words on that.
Hey, when I pay people top dollar, like I pay you two, I expect things to happen.
Okay. I'll
Peter goes, wait, Daryl, you've been paying Daryl? What?
fight.
Knocks us down, and then we have to get back up.
And if you miss the number in the outro, it'll be there as well. So... please leave voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. And on that note, we will jump into our very first segment. Okay, this segment is Retro in the News. And what do we mean by retro in the news? Basically, this is actual. We are not just talking about news reports from 1982. Okay, these are going to be actual events or movie or entertainment-oriented things that are taking place today. About, you know, movies that are coming out, maybe sequels, remakes, reboots, anything that applies that is related to something from our retro movie geeky past. So, for instance, let's just throw it out there. Normally, by the way, Daryl will be the one that brings you this segment.
Oh.
Normally.
Oh.
Unless,
but
of course,
we're not done with reading that long note you sent us.
I'm saying I'm still reading it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So, for instance, the fact, I don't know if you guys, I'm just going to throw topics out there. If you don't really care or want to talk about them, we'll just move on. And this is going to be a short segment because, for God's sakes, we got to get like 80 Rocky movies to get through. Right off the bat, the fact that they're the top two movies in the country as of this date, we are recording this December 27th, 2015, and the top two movies in the country, in the United States, are Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Wars.
Crazy.
I would say that qualifies as some retro in the news. And I also think it's interesting to note that I believe as of today, Star Wars Force Awakens specifically crossed the $1 billion threshold worldwide. And in its first 10 days, domestic gross is $544 million.
Damn.
Just to put that in perspective.
Popular movie.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, Avatar and its unobtainium self made about 210 in the same time period. And that's the number one movie of all time. It's more than doubled what Avatar made in its first 10 days. And unlike that movie, I want to see it again. Meaning Star Wars, not Avatar.
Why? You didn't want to see Avatar again and again?
I liked Avatar the first time purely for the 3D. Because the 3D was really well done in that.
You're right.
You know what? I haven't even seen it all the way through.
It's not a good movie, though. If you don't see it in 3D on an IMAX screen, it's almost like, why bother?
Well, I mean, you kind of know the movie. I mean, the story is
Fern Gully, the Last Rainforest,
done.
Meets Pocahontas in space.
Fern
Gully.
It's totally Fern Gully. And I would love to say I originated that, but I've heard that multiple places. That it's been compared. If you look at the beats of the Fern Gully story, it's similar.
Yeah.
So there's that. But
yeah.
I'm happy to report my fellow retro movie geeks that Star Wars will, I predict, reclaim the crown of number one movie, as far as grossing goes, in the world as of its run. I think it will be the new number one. It'll be the one to beat moving forward.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't open in what? They didn't open in all the markets outside of the United States yet?
No, I think, have they opened in China yet? I don't think they opened
in
China.
I think that's the last one.
Yeah.
And that
one should be substantial. And,
right.
I think so.
Yeah. And I don't know about how many, have you seen it more than once, you guys?
I've seen it twice so far.
Okay, I've seen it twice.
I haven't had yet. Sorry.
And I'm going to go see it a third time this next Saturday with family members that want to see it.
Good man.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, haven't had the time.
It's been a while since I've seen a movie multiple times in a theater like that and wanted to.
Yeah.
So. I think it's worth it. I also want to mention, since we are going to be talking about Rocky and the Rocky series, it is connected. Creed, which apparently had a budget of about $30 to $35 million, depending on the source you look at, which in this day and age is not much. Sadly enough, they used to be considered a pretty high budget, but $30 to $35 million is not a huge budget. It's not tiny, but it's not huge. And it is currently ranked at 27th overall for the year. It is had a gross of 96 domestic, 96,316,000 and change. So it's going to probably break 100 million domestic when it's all said and done. I find it fascinating that we now live in a day and age when your movie can gross $100 million and not clear the top 25.
Pretty much.
I think that's kind of amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, well, some movies, their budget, Their advertising budget was $100 million after a while.
Sure.
So
any other retro movie news, guys? I have a thing from denofgeek.com where they broke down they called it their 155 movie sequels currently in the works. This article came out 2nd of December, 2015. and it kind of breaks down all the different ones. And right off the bat, the ones that jumped out at me, and you guys have probably already heard this, Alien 5, supposedly Neil Blomkamp is going to be directing that. Let's see, the ones that were that would fit for this audience. Oh, the Avatar sequels, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Boys 3 and 4, well, that's sort of probably not quite retro yet. I don't, because when did that come out? Did it come out in 95?
Or later. Was it 95 for that?
Was it later? If it was 95 or earlier, then it counts, because like I said, 20 years is the cutoff. But if not, that is coming out. Let's see here.
Okay.
Beverly Hills Cop 4 and Beetlejuice 2 are apparently in the works.
What? Okay.
And but apparently,
Beverly Hills Cop has been, I mean, that thing has been a mess. Like, it was supposed to be a TV pilot that they reneged on because they didn't like it.
No, a mess was Beverly Hills Cop 3. And I'm just going to point out one little thing. Remember who made a cameo in that?
Who?
George Lucas. I'm not saying that there's a correlation to how stinky...
But you want to do.
No, it was not his fault that movie was as bad as it was.
No, it's not his fault.
So, but with Beetlejuice 2, what's interesting to me, Tim Burton is... I guess lined up to direct it, and I'm trying to think. Other than Batman Returns, has he done any other sequels to any of his movies? Now that Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
No, I don't think
Batman Returns is the only one I can come up with.
Yeah, because he had a thing about not doing sequels to anything.
Well, supposedly he has been talked. They've said they've convinced him, which I'm sure has nothing to do with the fact that the last few of his movies have not done.
That's what I was about to say. Like, it wasn't like movies have been doing well.
Yes.
The last few years.
And supposedly, Michael Keaton has indicated he would be back, which is awesome, especially since his career is really on the upswing between Birdman, which I have yet to see. I feel horrible. I feel like I'm like...
What is wrong with you?
I know. I don't know. It's literally been in a queue from Amazon forever, and I keep wanting to watch it, and just something happens, and I don't want it to be that movie. You always have that movie that you're quote-unquote supposed to see, and that you do want to see, but then over time, it just keeps slipping by, and somebody else, and finally you get up like, I almost don't even want to bother now. And I don't want to, because I've heard it's so good, and I heard he's amazing in it, and I would love to see that. Plus, I really want to see Spotlight, which I've heard he's amazing in. That's out in theaters right now. That's the one about the whole Catholic Church, and they said they've compared it to All the President's Men, the Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman picture, as far as being about journalistic investigation, and apparently it's a very good movie. So I really want to see him in that. But yeah, he's talking about coming back for Beetlejuice, and Winona Ryder has indicated she would come back. So, I mean, I think I don't hate that idea. Let's just put it that way.
No. I guess why not? Only thing about it is I don't. What would be the next sequel? Because they solved the problem. I mean, what?
Yeah.
What is the next problem? I mean,
a new family tries to move in.
Oh.
To the house. Of course, it's interesting. They did not bring up...
Originality.
About the old family?
Well, Alec Baldwin... Yeah, that's true. That's true. Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis were not listed as being returning, so...
She probably wouldn't want to do it, I guess.
I can't see. I don't think he'd want to do it either.
Probably not.
Bill and Ted 3 is supposedly in the works.
I don't know.
I heard rumors. I think I saw something about triplets. Sequel to Twins.
Oh, I did not know about that.
I'm not sure. I did hear
something about that, but it wasn't confirmed. But I could see them trying to do that again.
Blade Runner 2.
Yes, that is confirmed.
Yes, that is confirmed. That's Ryan Gosling, right? Ryan Gosling is going to be in that one.
And I think
Harrison Ford is going to return as Decker. That's what I've heard. Cheech and Chong apparently are going to reunite.
Yes,
for another stoner movie.
Why not? Everyone else gets to do it.
I think
so.
Why can't they cash in on their own?
Clerks 3, which I have heard that's been in the works, as well as, I know Mallrats 2 is supposed to be coming out.
I think
Mallrats is the one early Kevin Smith movie I've never seen. I saw Clerks before it was even a thing. That and Reservoir Dogs. I remember I heard about him at Sundance when they were kind of blowing up. Mm-hmm. And I saw Clerks like soon as it was available on video. And I loved it. I was in high school. And Mallrats, for some reason, I don't know why, because one of my best friends at the time, Dan, he was obsessed with that movie. Loved it. But I saw, I love Chasing Amy. I loved, I saw Dogma. Loved, I mean, I saw all his early stuff and then Jersey Girl. And, but I haven't seen a lot of his newer, huh?
You know,
that's a movie.
Travesty. Oh.
Well, that's a movie I think out of all of them I had seen it, but I never think of it as a Kevin Smith movie. I just think of it as a teenage coming,
what, Mallrats?
Teenage film. Yeah.
You know, I guess, but it has a lot of character crossover and actors like early Ben Affleck, Jason Lee.
It does, but I just, I don't know for whatever reason, I just never, I don't think of it as a Kevin Smith movie.
Well, I because there's four pages of these, I'm only going to mention one more, and then maybe our next episode I'll dig back in here and find a few more for us to discuss. But the other one I will mention that, and I don't know if you guys heard that they were talking about Die Hard 6.
I've heard rumors, but I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
Why?
Unfortunately, the tentative title is Die Hard Year One, which is, it's supposedly the rumored synopsis, and there's nothing really spoilery here. Another Die Hard film is on the way, I'm quoting from the article, and it's believed to be a year one tale focusing on John McClane's pre-Nakatomi Plaza antics. And then the author put, our note to those involved, please make it better than the last one. Well, so obviously this would be a younger John McClane, some other actor portraying him. I've heard the rumor that maybe Bruce Willis would be involved in some sort of bookending.
Probably. He would do it for the check. But I mean, the bad thing, but the only crazy thing about it is he, when Die Hard started, he didn't become John McClane until that adventure. Like before that, he was just an average cop.
Yeah, he was just a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just a regular dude.
Yep. And that's why it won't be very good. I would say I am disappointed that they are not going to call it Die Hard 6, Old Habits, Die Hard.
They might as well do stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably going to do jokes and stuff of that nature throughout the entire film, so they might as well just go with it.
So, gentlemen, are you ready to get our Rocky on?
Sure. Talking about Rocky. Okay.
Yes, we are going to talk about Rocky, but before we do, and what this applies to Rocky 1 through 6, which means Rocky Balboa, not so much Creed, because I'm going to, we're not spoiling that. That's currently in theaters, but definitely Rocky 1 through 6.
What we've got here is...
Spoiler alert.
No way.
That's right. We have a spoiler alert.
No.
I know, no way. That's what the guy said. Like, duh. Yes, I am very anti-spoiler. I am spoiler-phobic. I will admit that here and now. I do not like them. Sam, I am. I do not like spoiler green eggs and ham. I do not like them at all. So out of respect for everybody who also doesn't like them, you have been warned. I would also argue probably anybody who downloaded this, at least intentionally, has seen a Rocky movie or five.
I would think.
Okay.
Yeah. Or six.
So real quick, let's just start off with the first one. That is the one I rewatched for this because I had no time to do the other ones, and I felt a little bad.
I know.
Well,
but haven't you watched it enough times that you know?
That was the other thing, is I felt very confident that I did not need to rewatch very many. I watched a few little highlight reels that people had put on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, yeah, totally, yep. I've seen these movies enough times.
Touch me and I'll sue.
Yeah, sue me for what?
Touch me and I'll sue.
That is the best part of that movie. Go ahead, punk. Touch me and I'll sue. So, Rocky, the first
one. You didn't have time to see the other movies. You're the, me and Daryl has to leave the house to go to work.
Hey, Peter, I'm going to leave. No. Peter, I'm going to leave you at your house. I'm going to leave you at your house with all your children.
Ooh,
and then
salty.
Let's see how much movie watching gets done.
I didn't see it coming either. Like that hit he gave me.
I know. It was more.
That's the only note I have.
That was more akin to Spider Rico's headbutt than it was to an Apollo Creed sort of roundabout sort of thing. Yeah, it's Rocky.
Clubber Lang.
Oh, I love Clubber Lang. So the first Rocky, 1976, it came out the year I was born. Let me hit back with that one, Peter. Came out the year I was born. Did you see it in the theater?
Oh.
No.
Okay. So,
If I could get off of this chair, I would slap you.
So it came out the bicentennial year. It was a good year. It was a good year. Mm-hmm. And bicentennial, the good old US of A, and Rocky was in theaters. I rewatched this movie with my three relatively young children. I have a 9, 8, and 6-year-old. They did pretty well, all things considered. There was a couple points, primarily during the smoochy, lovey-dovey drama stuff where
Did they like Polly?
I think they were confused by Polly. They thought at first maybe he was a bad guy because of how mean he was to Adrian.
But Polly is kind of a...
He's a total jerk. And I love how, even from this movie, he is totally, just openly, he doesn't do it underhandedly. He openly takes advantage of Rocky.
Yeah. I mean, even all the way up to Rocky Balboa?
Yeah, all the way to the end. He is I love when Rocky comes out with the robe on and he's got the meatpacking plant thing, you know, embroidered on the back or whatever.
Right.
And Mickey says, what the hell is that, kid? And he goes, I don't want you being a billboard. And he made a comment about, you know, it's for Polly. He said, well, what's he getting? He goes, he's getting $3,000. Well, what are you getting? A robe.
Yeah.
I'm getting the robe.
Exactly. That's Polly.
Yeah,
that's
Polly.
And it was too baggy.
Yeah, you stand so you can't. This look too baggy on me. Hey. So this is the story of a guy whose life was a million to one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky Balboa, played by a young Sylvester Stallone, who rumor has it wrote the screenplay in about 3 days. Now, how do you guys buy those stories? I remember hearing Kevin Williamson wrote Scream in a week or two, that this was written in 3 days. It's always like they have to, the PR on a lot of movies, they have to create this mythology around them that it was such a passion project that the writer just emptied out onto the page. I'm not saying they didn't come up with something that looked like a glorified outline / rough draft in that time period. I'm just saying, from my experience, if you write something in 3 days, it's going to need some work.
Well, I could see them saying that maybe the first rough draft was written.
But they never say that. They go, wrote it in 3 days.
Well, they're not going to say the first rough draft was written. Like, who wants to hear when they try to make it sound sexy and
that's
and,
what I'm saying, though. It's all PR. It's all marketing.
I'm not going to say, hey, the first rough draft was written in 3 days.
3 days. And the second rough draft
and it was written
in 4.
Yeah, because this is not like it was rocket science. I mean, this is pretty
straightforward.
It won Best pretty Picture, though. I mean, this is a movie
it did.
That won Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, now Stallone was nominated for a Golden Globe at the time. Was he nominated for an Oscar for Best Actor? I know for screenplay he was, but I don't remember if he was for actor. I don't think he was for actor. I know Golden Globe, he was nominated for actor.
He was nominated for Best Actor. Yes, he was.
Oh, was he for Academy Awards?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for Best Actress, Talia Shire.
Yeah. Who played Adrian. And what's an interesting little parallel to that, Creed, Mr. Stallone is nominated for his first Golden Globe since Rocky for his portrayal of Rocky Balboa in that movie. So,
I think that's so good in that movie.
Oh, didn't he? I mean, seriously, the fact that you come away from that movie going, I keep forgetting Stallone can act. See, in Balboa, I thought he brought his. I think he brought it in Balboa, Rocky Balboa.
He did. Totally did.
But prior to that, the only other movie that really jumped out at me as him, like where he was really trying in recent memory, was Copland.
Yeah, that was the major one he tried, and it didn't. And probably because of the reception of it, probably was like, why should I bother doing movies like this?
I guess, but Creed, I gotta believe. You know, his agent was very happy to take the calls for more dramatic roles, because I'm sure he got some after that one.
Yeah, well, but looking at the whole Rocky franchise, I mean, he's not, it's not like Sylvester Stallone's bad. I mean, he plays the part.
No, he
owns. If you look at the other stuff, he's consistent. Rocky is the same in all the movies, basically.
Yes.
Except for 5, where he's
Creed went through a lot of changes before it got to where it was.
And did he write Creed? I thought somebody else. I know somebody else.
No, it went through more than one writer. Ryan Coogler is credited with writing Creed along with Aaron Covington.
Okay,
so those two people are credited with co-writing them.
Okay, because this would be the first Rocky movie he did not write.
Yeah,
because Stallone wrote them all, and
which is probably for the best. That's
I think Balboa was well done, and it's funny with Balboa. when I rewatched just a few bits and clips of it, and that one that I played earlier, where he talks to his son, you really can see parallels between that one and Creed, because that idea in that one was his son was stuck under the Balboa name and was trying to crawl out from under it. Whereas with Creed, obviously that's what Adonis is dealing with.
His son is really like to the point of being a kind of a dickish.
Are you talking about are you talking about Mr. Petrelli from Heroes?
Yes. Yes. Even in Creed, he moved away. Like, yeah. I mean,
yes.
Is that major spoiler that's going to kill everybody?
That's not a spoiler.
He moved away.
Yes.
Like, he's not even in the movie.
It is a throwaway line so they could explain why his son wasn't in the movie. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Like, he's totally just not in his father's life.
Yes.
Really.
But I think in the first Rocky, we get Stallone as Balboa, who's alone. Mm-hmm. This is the one where he meets Adrian. He's already had a somewhat of a contentious working relationship with Mickey, played by Burgess Meredith. And he is friends with Polly. He didn't meet Adrian in this one. We're seeing the escalation of him going from just flirting with her to trying to date her.
Right. He's always friends with, he's very awkward when it comes to women. In the first one,
yes.
Well, he's not like he's never been portrayed in any of the Rockies as
a ladies
man.
Not a
he's
always man, no.
He's been in love with her probably for years,
yes.
And he's just never been able to get. It just took a long time for him to get to the point where his awkward in her, because they're both awkward,
yes.
When it comes to
yes.
that stuff.
She is socially awkward,
right? Yes. To connect. Like, you have the almost abusive, I would say, Paulie.
Oh, he is, yeah. Emotionally, for sure.
Like, totally. Like, she didn't even really need him. Like, he's pretty much he blames her for every negative thing that's happened. Like, he drinks too much. Paulie is more of the villain a little bit in the beginning of the movie, besides circumstance. Like, the villains in it, like, Apollo is not a villain. Like, that's the thing about the movie.
No,
he's not a negative. He's just a fighter. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. But the deal with this is that you take the character of Rocky and you have this guy who, uneducated, no family,
mm-hmm.
And you write him, he's pretty much alone. His best friend is, at the same time, someone who's abusive and uses him whenever he can and is selfish. And working for the mafia guy, he talks down to him. And they throw in little things like, even though Rocky's supposed to be the muscle to collect on debts,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't even want to hurt people. Like, you know, they're telling him to, one time he's a boxer, he wants to fight, but at the same time there are scenes where his mafia boss is yelling at him because he told him to break the thumb of one of the guys that couldn't pay and he refused to do it. So already that you get the sense of, you know, like, this guy's not a bad guy, even though he's, you know, on paper he would be the bad guy. And plenty of scenes. I mean, there's a scene early on where you see Rocky come home and he's all by himself and he's looking in the mirror at himself and he's pretty much trying to practice how he's going to talk to Adrian the next day.
Yeah.
And he's that, you know, like, he's that awkward and just so isolated, mm-hmm. like that sense of.
Yeah, but if you look at the way he's with Adrian, and it takes a lot. I mean, he's practicing everything to kind of talk to her, and they're mm-hmm. both awkward. And when you carry that over into Rocky Balboa, where she's not there again, and when he's talking to little Marie and other women, he's still got that awkwardness. He can't really talk to women.
Right.
The only one you actually could talk to was Adrian, and then she died on him.
Yeah, like he loved her. I mean, because even in Rocky Balboa, it wasn't really a love story in Rocky Balboa.
No.
Well, so, it was more of Rocky. Like, he helped his woman, but he just helped the woman. Like, it didn't.
And that was supposed to remind. That was Marie from the first film. Was it supposed to be her growing up? Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of that in the Rocky Balboa. I love that.
There's a lot of callbacks to what made Rocky what it was.
Yes.
Because it changed after two.
Yes.
Rocky went through a tremendous change.
More like an action. It almost became more of an action movie, I think.
Yeah, right, but, it did. I listened to parts of Sylvester Stallone's commentary for Rocky Balboa. And even admits that in 3 and 4, it went too far. Well, not too far, but it he said it was exaggerated. But this is the 80s. Everything was colorful. Everything was big.
Mm-hmm.
The hair and everything was big. And that kind of fits those two movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally did. But it's so Rocky 1 is just is such a subdued and quiet movie. In the beginning, like it takes a long time to get to that point where you know, like there's a scene where he pretty much Mickey yells at him in the gym in front of everybody that you're a bum, like you're bum. Working for a you're the muscle for a mafia dude, you're a bum. Yeah. He yelled at him, and just the hurt and. Like he played Sylvester Stallone. I mean, it showed when he can act. Like this, he could really play these characters, especially someone who is down and out. And like just the hurt in his eyes when Mickey says that to him out there. Like, and he's just struggling. Like he's not super brave in this. He's not like I can beat everybody. That's the kind of not. How he's the hero.
Yeah, he's not cocky. There's no overconfidence in him.
No, there's no overconfidence in him. In fact, he's scared out of his mind to fight Apollo.
Oh, yeah, he knows he's going to lose.
Yeah, he's so scared that this is it. Like, he's not going to beat this guy. There's no way he's going to beat this guy. And Apollo is shown as... He's like, hey, we don't... What do they call the boxes on that side? They call them...
You talking about the?
There was a name that they called Rockies, huh?
You talking about pugilists?
No. There was a name for the kind of boxers that came from where Rocky
Southpaw.
Came from.
Southpaw. Yeah, he's a left-hander because he's a lefty.
Right, and they were like, they don't fight them. Like a lot of heavyweights don't fight them.
Do you guys know why? That the reason why most boxers don't like fighting a southpaw.
Well, tell everyone why.
Okay. Can I?
Do it.
As I understand it, and I only know a little bit about the sport, but the way I understand it, because a southpaw is a left-hander, majority of people are right-handers.
Right.
And when they fight a southpaw, because of the opposite hand being the dominant hand, it throws off the right-hander's rhythm. And boxing is a... As a sport, is about there's a level of you got to get the rhythm down,
right.
You got to get the pacing down, and in your timing, and it's all about timing. And so when you've got this guy who's almost like it's almost like punching at a the mirror, how the mirror screws up
your
sense of your left and your right. If you're not familiar with what your left and right are, I guess it will screw you up. And so you have to really, if you're going to fight a southpaw, you have to really prepare for that, because it can completely throw your game off. And of course, as we see with Apollo in the first film, he does what Rocky will eventually do in 3 for sure with Clubber Lang. And to a lesser extent in 4. I mean, obviously by 4, he does the whole, I'm going old school minimalist workout in the Soviet Union. But 3 definitely is, I think, meant to be where Rocky is now, kind of where Apollo was, where he's not taking the underdog, the guy with the eye of the tiger, as serious. And that's what happened with Apollo. I love the moment where Duke, Apollo's trainer, is watching the TV, and it's when they're showing the news footage of Rocky, that iconic thing of him punching the frozen beef at Paulie's job. And you see Duke just kind of sitting in that chair, and he's got his shirt undone. He's dressed to the nines. Everybody in that room's got lots of money, and they're successful at what they do. And he's sitting in that chair, but you see it in his face. He just kind of starts leaning forward as he's watching this kid break the ribs. of hanging frozen beef, and he's like, "Hey champ, you better look at this guy you're gonna fight," and Apollo just kind of brushes it off. And you see that look on Duke's face, like, "I wouldn't do that," and it's to me reminiscent of what happens where, you know, where Mickey will eventually tell Rocky in three about Clubber Lang. You know, he's gonna, he's gonna mord ya. You know, yeah. I love how Mickey, by the way, totally sounds like Popeye half the time.
He did. He turned into Popeye more and more as he got older.
Yeah, well, he is Popeye's father, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he is. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. He did play that. Yep. But he, yeah, I mean, that whole thing of for a movie to be to basically say, I just want to break even. Like, I my plan is not to beat this dude. My plan is to
stand up after.
Is to keep standing throughout the 12 rounds.
And it's funny. As a kid, I saw them out of order. I honestly don't remember which one. I probably saw four first. And then I think I saw one and then three. And then I think actually I may have even seen two either. I want to say I may have seen it before five, but for some reason, my sense is it was one of the last ones I saw. And I don't know why that was. And two has always been the one. It almost blends in a way with part one to me. Like there's not, they're different, but they're not. They always seemed like there's a lot of similarities to them for some reason in my own head.
Well, the style of it, the storytelling is the same. Because I think when you think about it, when people talk about, when critics especially talk about the decline in quality in films, it's after two.
Yes.
It kind of can connect.
Two still feels like a drama.
Right.
And it seems to me that the biggest, because obviously in that one, his opponent is Apollo. Now, and I think also Apollo is a lot more prominent, if I'm not mistaken, in two. It's been a while since I've watched it. And again, it's...
Yeah, he's in two a lot more than he is in the first one.
I had forgotten how little he's in part one. I thought he was in it way more than he was. Like, as I was watching it yesterday, I would sit there thinking to myself, I thought Apollo was in this a lot more than this. But he really isn't.
No. He was just the guy that they kind of set him up as just being the boxer that needed. He needs a fight. He needs a good fight. And he needs a challenge, as they say.
Well, and I think, just clear this up for me. Was the idea that he was, because he's the world champion, is the idea that everybody's so afraid to fight him that they can't get a decent opponent that's on par with him, so they're going to go the other direction and give somebody that's a complete unknown a shot on the 4th of July, so it's rah-rah patriotic. And they
and he used color, too. Like, he basically, Apollo said, they want me to lose to this dude. Like they know, like, there's the great, he was the great white hope. Like, Rocky will, he knew that promoting the fight, he said it, like, he was, when he was talking to his manager and the other team
and the promoter and everybody.
He was saying that, listen, we go up against this guy, they will love it because there will be that aspect of the great white hope fighting the champion, and people will love the underdog. They will love to see if this white guy will be able to beat me.
And what I loved, is how smart Apollo is as a businessman.
Totally.
That he is
totally. And a promoter. He was his own promoter.
Yeah. When the promoter says to him, and you have something effective that, you know, and that's American, and he looks at him and goes, no, it's smart.
Right.
He just gave that big grin, smile. That was great.
Yeah, like to have this bot, he wasn't, which was another thing that you didn't see often, is, the black boxer who's smart in business, smart in his own promotion, not, you know, like he did, they didn't show him to be, you know, like flashy drug addict. Like, he was flashy when he fought, but they didn't show him.
He was flashy in a Muhammad Ali way. Like,
right.
He was
in a Muhammad Ali, like Leon Spinks type of, you know, speed and fight and flair. But in terms of as a person, he wasn't portrayed as being the bad guy. That wasn't it.
He was a family man.
Right. The villain of the movie is Rocky's situation.
Rocky himself. His insecurity is...
Totally. All of it.
Like, it's man versus himself.
Which is a lot of... they got away from that in three and four. But I think they went back to that in Balboa.
Yeah.
Back to that in...
Creed. Creed for sure.
Right.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And...
I want to watch that so bad.
What, Creed?
You will. Yes.
You really need to see it.
I'm going
to
cry. I'm going to cry.
You will. It was. Yeah. It really was.
I tell you now, I sat there. I went to see it by myself. I sat there bawling like a baby. I don't usually cry at films like that, especially outside. But I was bawling. Them tears were streaming down. I couldn't even stop them.
I love the Rocky movies, and nothing, you know, will ever completely replace them. But I will say this. If we're talking about rewatchability and just quality of just the movie, and I think it's purely nostalgia talking here, but I can't say the words, I think Creed's better than the original Rocky, but man, it's right there. I mean, it is.
I will say it. I think the fighting, the way show, only because the situation is, he's had the benefit of watching, the director of Creed had the benefit of watching all of the other Rocky movies. He grew up with this. In fact, it's funny to hear him talk about it. Like, I loved to hear the director, Ryan Coogler, talk about with his father.
Yes, how he was a big fan. I read that.
How he was a big fan of this. And he was like, why are we rooting for Rocky, man? Like, why are we supposed to be rooting for Apollo? He's a black guy. Like, just the whole thing. And that's the thing about Rocky, is there's no bad guy. Like,
no.
There was no bad guy in it. And the way that he made, I think all other boxing films will have to look at the way that Creed was made.
Oh, sure.
And changed. Just the way that Rocky changed a lot of future fighting, any type of fighting.
Sports films
in general, the underdog thing, they totally did that with Creed. I mean, the boxing felt so freaking real.
It did. And not in that annoying way where you watch an actual boxing match, you're like, will you just freaking do something?
No. It
felt, it was like, movie real, but it felt real. Yeah.
It felt like I was like watching boxing again, like when I used to really love it. Like, you know, like when the heavyweight division was really something.
When Mike Tyson was eating people's ears.
Oh. Before that.
That's fighting with dinner.
When two dudes fought, like, it wasn't a I hit you and then you just fall down thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, this was when they were like fighters, that's like wrong. They were stars. Like, and when they fought each other, it was war. It was a fight. But there weren't two good fighters in it. Like, it's different. Yeah. These were two good fighters who fought.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, I think, in how we look at films. Well, especially boxing films.
And I think with Creed, though, like you said, the fighting feels so real. And just the flow of it and the story was so... It was really effectively done. Now, going back to the original Rocky, it had been a while, not, you know, years and years since I've seen it. I've been maybe a couple. And it always strikes me at how it almost looks like a documentary. It's just, it has this, I don't even know if they had a budget of $1 million. John G. Avildsen directed, he would go on to do Karate Kid and Rocky V. So we have him to thank for that.
Right.
And he cornered the market on underdog sports movies, but not just sports movies, but sort of on the fringe sports movies like boxing and karate and rodeos. Because didn't he do 8 Seconds with Luke Perry?
He sure did.
He did?
I think
the
he
Power
did.
Of One was the karate one
that he did. Oh, yeah. But you did the Karate Kid, right? I'm pretty sure John G. Avildsen also did.
Yeah, he did both. Karate Kid and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the second one, yeah.
Yeah, so...
He also did A Night in Heaven. Wow.
I don't even... What's that one?
You don't remember A Night in Heaven?
No. Not even ring a bell.
That's with Leslie Ann Warren and Chris, the stripper thing?
What? Hey-o. No, I don't even remember.
Very, very sexual for Leslie Ann Warren. That was a very...
She was great in Clue.
No, this was different. This is where we go off the rails.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
But it was it's a retro though. It's a retro movie.
That would be a forgotten flick.
I would be for forgotten flick. It wasn't. I don't think it did that well. No, it didn't do well at all.
It's truly but forgotten. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, you look it up. Okay. It's A Night in Heaven. It's before Magic Mike and all that stuff. Okay. This was early back then. This is way before all that.
All right, I got you.
And it did not do that well.
Well, so we had John G. Avildsen directed Rocky One, and it has that documentary, that sort of raw, grittiness. Gritty,
that 70s
cinema, early Scorsese's movie, movies had like Taxi Driver, Mean Streets, and stuff like that. And before this movie, Avildsen had done a movie called Joe, and it started,
started
his career, but it starred, which is what I was trying to say, Peter Boyle, obviously the guy who would probably, I would think, best be known for young Frankenstein as the,
who's known to me?
As the monster, and as Ray Romano's dad in Everybody Loves Raymond. It's probably the, I mean, he's done lots of other stuff, but, and Taxi Driver, he was
Peter
in
Boyle,
that.
Right.
Yeah, Peter, yeah. So he was in Joe, and Joe is essentially about this blue collar American guy who is a just flaming racist and just angry as hell at the world around him and hates the hippies and just is very angry, angry guy. But it was a very real, you could see when you watch clips of it, you can see the Rocky parallel as far as the aesthetic goes and why they picked him as a director. Because and it, Rocky has that. Also, and I'm sure Peter noticed him from many moons ago. And why is his name escaping me? The guy who played Maniac, Joe Spinell.
Yeah, yeah, Gazzo.
Yeah,
he's played both Rocky 1 and 2.
Yes, he has. Yeah, I forgot he was in 2. He's the sort of, I don't know, would you call him a mob boss? He's not, I guess he's a loan shark.
He's a loan shark.
I guess he's connected.
He's connected. Yeah, he works for the mob, I think. Yeah. Yeah, he's in the second one, too. He roots for Rocky like a madman. He's in Nighthawks, too. With Lando and Rocky.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't up the, that's another thing with Rocky, they don't up the drama. Like, they could have went the route of he can't get out of being a, like the guy's angry, he telling him, he, you know, Rocky wants to quit being a, being a muscle. Like, he could have made it that it was a problem and you can't do that. And
yeah, but they,
it really wasn't.
No, it's like Gazzo is almost a decent guy.
It feels bad for him. It's almost like he wants him to get out.
He defends him, though, because the driver, the other, the guy that's the driver.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the other bum.
He wants to start. He always tries to start a fight with Rocky. He's like, "Who hit your face with a truck?"
Or, you get the Rock. You get the license plate of that truck.
What,
the one that hit your face.
And the dude is telling him, "Shut up, stop it." Like he's defending. He doesn't have that that whole chain of like he can't get out. Like his main thing is he feels like he can't do any. He feels like he'll never be anything more than what he is. That's what we're left at with Rocky until that change with Apollo, is that he feels like he'll never be more than that. Like he's Southpaw, no one will ever fight him. He'll never get anything except for the spider, which is so funny how I had forgotten.
Oh, in Balboa?
That spider in Balboa. Yeah. Is the guy that he fought in the beginning of the first Rocky.
That awesome?
He was actually the first guy who punches Rocky. The first punch Rocky gets is from Spider Rico.
Totally did. It solidified even more the connection of Rocky Balboa all the way back to the first film.
Yeah.
I need to watch. I've got all of them on DVD, and I need to rewatch Balboa. That was the only other one I was gonna try to rewatch before we started, because I've always thought for a while it would be kind of cool to just watch one and jump immediately to Rocky Balboa.
The Balboa one. There's so much that harkens back to the first one, and so many nods and the places he goes to, the streets, and even Spider Rico. It's the same damn actor who plays Spider Rico in the first movie. That's done 2 movies, Rocky and Rocky Balboa.
That's awesome.
And I think another thing that happens because of everything that's happened in between Rocky and then you get to Rocky Balboa, it puts him in a situation where there's no desperate need to do anything. Like he's not broke. He has the restaurant. If anything, he probably had a couple more fights. So he was able to earn at least enough money that he can sustain himself. Like there's no talk of him being poor it's funny because they describe it when I bought the movie on Amazon, they describe Rocky Balboa as him needing money. And it never comes up in the movie.
No, it's not really true.
No.
Yeah.
It's not true at all, because even Paulie, you know, like trying to discourage him, as he does most of the time, He's telling him, what, you need money? Like, what are you doing this for? Like, there's no, what is the point of this?
I always took it as Rocky is just that hunger in him, that he's a fighter.
He said it. He said, I have that. Yeah. It's still a little bit in the basement. There's still more.
I love that line. Yeah. That's such a
I got to get rid of. Like, it's that thing. I never had that. And we all can feel it. Like, that sense of, even in the first Rocky, there's that sense of, I've never been that successful in anything, really.
Sure.
And I've always felt I could have been.
Yeah, in all of the Rocky movies, you can't get any better motivational movies than those.
Oh.
Well, you kind of, you does. But I think, Stan, apart from, I think you take three to the next three after two.
Mm-hmm.
You take that away. And just go with the Rocky 1, 2, and then Rocky and then Rocky Balboa.
I will disagree in this sense. I'll agree in this sense. If you're looking for dramatic consistency and quality of acting and the storytelling and everything else, yes. I personally cannot let 3 and 4 go. I'm sorry. No.
I'm not saying about the quality. I'm saying about the story.
Sure, you don't. Yeah, you could jump 1, 2, jump to Balboa, and if you miss 3, 4, and
the other two, he's in a different world. Like the other two, he's rich now. It's a different situation for him than it was.
Even the color scheme in the movies are different.
I mean, right? In
3 and 4, one and 2. Color.
Yeah, exactly. In 1, it's more color because he's hit it. Like this is what he's been won. But in 1 and 2, and then Rocky Balboa, there's that they kind of it's more subdued again.
Yeah.
And they kind of pull that away, and it's more about this guy needing to do this for himself. It's not about him having to take down another person because they've done something. Like it's more, because that's what the other ones had. He had to take down a Russian. He had to take down Mr. T because the Clubber Lang was evil. Like he was yelling stuff at his wife. He was like, this dude, they made him the villain.
In Rocky 3, Club Lang was the villain.
I would like to ask you guys, though, because I'm sure you have seen interviews and things like that with Mr. T.
Correct.
Right? He seems like one of the sweetest men.
Mm-hmm.
And just and yet he is so utterly terrifying.
Yes.
He won't do, he every time they ask him, would you ever come back to do a Rocky? He's like, he would ask for a crazy amount of money to come back to not do it again. I remember seeing him say he regrets doing that movie because of how
kids would see him.
How evil that character was kind of portrayed in the film. Like, he didn't really think he would be that. He would be looked at that way. And he's everything after that, he's kind of wanted to change his, which he has. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like he's.
Well, that led to the A-Team. And it was interesting because apparently I watched a recent interview with him and he was. And I think you're right. I think he regrets that because he's so pro, you know, helping kids and being like a great role model to them. And I think that probably is a bit of regret. Now, I think he's very grateful because that shot that Sly gave him, because ultimately, prior to that movie, he had no acting career.
He needed it. He was a bodyguard.
Yeah, he was a bodyguard, bouncer in a bar. I mean, he did that kind of stuff.
Right.
I think he was a football player, right? And I think he was a fighter, too. Didn't he do some fighting?
Maybe.
I think he did. And I think he was going to go pro, and I can't remember why. I don't think he ever went pro football.
No, I don't think so.
So I know he was involved in athletics and apparently already had the mohawk. Like that's something he brought to the audition. And I guess there was some talk that originally they were gonna shave his head and Stallone's like, No, whatever you do, leave it, you know.
Right.
And so I think
you needed the cartoon character villain for Rocky to have to go again.
But see, Apollo to me was bordered on cartoon character, especially in the first one at times, just because of how bigger than life he was. You know what right. I mean? And Clubber Lang, I feel like, was a little bit more one-dimensional than Apollo by far.
Right. Apollo was just, Apollo was a charismatic boxer, which is what we had back then.
Sure, sure.
There was more of that than I'd say now. I think there was more of the charismatic boxer back then than we ever had. Afterwards, yeah. Like you have to be that way now.
But
like
then Ivan Drago is sort of like even more one dimensional.
Cold War thing.
Robert Lang and Ivan Drago they're just opponents.
Yeah, they weren't even people. Like he was like a robot. Yeah, the way that Drago was shown, he was more like just a robot that they just threw up there.
Yeah,
to fight
Terminator. Like, he was basically a Terminator.
He basically was. He was like a Terminator. And
if you go even deeper on, he's actually a victim. I mean, he's basically manufactured to do that.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, they with the doping and all that stuff that they had going on with him and the whole Russian.
The whole Soviet thing. Well, right. And I think
he's forced to be married to Brigitte Nielsen and stuff like that. Oh,
wait a minute. Rocky wanted that now.
That's true.
Yeah, I know.
He did want that.
In her prime. Just saying.
In her prime. He wanted it. He liked the party. She liked the party too. She liked it.
So with Ivan Drago, but I was going to say with Ivan Drago, the one thing that I always recall is that despite the Terminator robotic type qualities to the character, there are moments with Dolph Lundgren where he shows something more. You know what I mean? Like he's especially, I think it's in that final fight where you can see.
It's the Karate Kid thing with sweep the leg.
I know.
I've been a dick, but
yes, it's where Johnny Lawrence gets that look on his face of Karate Kid and says, "You want me to do what? You know, come on.
I can beat this guy. Why do you want me to?
You see the big bad even has a conscience. Even that's exactly what it is. You see that a little bit with Dolph Lundgren. His character. So,
You never get that with Clubber Lang because Clubber Lang just want to bash Rocky. Right.
But Clubber Lang, you're supposed to get the impression he's just angry and.
Yeah. Well, he is.
But you don't really get. I think the problem is you don't get any background necessarily as to why. I mean, you can make assumptions. Oh, he grew up in a bad play area, blah, blah, blah. But you don't get that data. You don't know, why is he so.
He wants to have the break just like Rocky, and then when Rocky is threatening retirement, he kind of feels that who am I gonna? I don't know. He's like the little child in the youngest child in a family who gets it sounds stupid to say that they're forgotten, but I mean they have to kind of
work harder to get
they have to make themselves be seen.
Well, he's hungry, thing of not.
And then he's denied that.
Rocky felt that need. You know, like one and two, Rocky was broke. Like Rocky had to, he had a need to want to do this. Like he had a need to at least want to get in the ring with this guy, even though he was scared out of his mind. Mm-hmm. He still had a need to want to change his situation. And two, he needed the money as well. He had a wife, he had a kid coming. Like, he couldn't read or write, and he couldn't, all the endorsements were falling at the wayside, and it was like he had to do something. Like, there was the only way to get that money is to keep fighting. So he had to go back in the ring with Apollo. But in three, like, he wasn't hungry anymore. You saw it. Like, he was just happy to be a family. And that's another thing. Like, Apollo, even though he was home, he had money, he had everything was taken care of, he had his family, he had his great wife, it still bothered him. He wanted to get back in that ring. Like, he didn't want to stop fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocky was the opposite. He was like, I could stop right now. Like, if as long as everything is taken care of, I could just be husband and dad and not care. Like, there was no need to prove himself until the situation got the way that it got, and what had happened. Like, his manhood got challenged, and that's what made him step back in the ring. Like, but and then also Apollo kicked him in the butt be like, look, like, you can beat this dude, and I'm gonna help you beat this dude. I'm not gonna just let you sit here and give up. And that gave him the heart.
And while I will acknowledge that one and two and Balboa had stronger dramatic roots, three and four, what they do excel at is just being these wonderful action movie entertainments that are also maybe, I don't want to say single-handedly responsible for giving us Survivor, but they because of those movies, we have Eye of the Tiger and Burning Heart,
right?
Et cetera.
And how many hasn't punched?
I played that today.
I remember before football games, but when guys were getting ready to get, that was that one. We're not going to take it. You had your key songs that get you jacked up, and the Tiger is in the top.
Rocco.
Well, and interesting trivia bit. Do you know what song was originally supposed to be the Rocky theme song?
Thriller.
Nope. It became a song that was used in a different movie that also has another connection to Rocky. It's one of those, if you don't know, I'm pretty much wasting your time by doing this. It is the song from the end of Karate Kid.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense because they do have a similar tone and theme.
Well, because originally, if you listen to... You know what's so sad is right now I've got the Eye of the Tiger so stuck in my head I'm trying to remember the words. Great. It's give me a couple bars of the one for Karate Kid. Come on.
There wouldn't be no math. I didn't know
the man's not gonna take history repeats itself.
You're the best.
The best around. No one's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best. Yeah, I was trying to get. I had Eye of the Tiger so in my head I couldn't get past that. But if you listen to the words of "best around," he says history repeats itself.
Yes,
that's supposed to be a callback to all the other Rocky things. So it was originally, I think, going to be the Rocky II song, which is when that's. And I always, that's the other thing is I always, as a kid, thought Eye of the Tiger started with Rocky IV. It did not. It's in Rocky III.
Is in Rocky III. Yeah, that's where we heard it first.
The coolest.
It was coolest. You know that. You know the song that that Rocky Balboa starts with, that do 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 do.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. Isn't that what they're singing on the corner in the first one?
That's in the first one. And you know who it's Thor's brother singing it.
Yeah. Frank.
That's because when
you know who else
the first one. What?
You know who else should think that needs to thank Sylvester Stallone? For every dime they probably have, is his brother.
Yeah, and the reason they used him in the first one, you know why that was?
What?
Because they couldn't afford anyone else.
Exactly.
Stallone even says so in the commentary for Rocky Balboa. So the reason they used that one is because I'll have my brother sing that one because they couldn't afford anyone else, and then he used it in Rocky Balboa as the first song, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But from the start, this was monetary.
All right.
Did you hear Rocky very quickly sing when they were walking up to Polly and Adrian's house? Did you hear him singing a little bit?
Yeah.
It jumped out at me because for some reason I've never noticed that. Now, Frank Stallone does sing, and that's why he was used, like you guys were saying. But I never realized that Stallone fancied, somewhat like Eddie Murphy, he fancied himself as wanting to have a bit of a singing career.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because that's the whole Rhinestone. Because
he did that other movie. Yeah, that Rhinestone. Yeah.
But before that.
The Rhinestone, but he did that before?
No, well, there's a movie called Paradise Alley from 1978.
Which I have it on my list.
He sings the theme song.
He does?
As I recall. Or it's either the theme song or the one at the end. I can't remember if it was like in credits.
I know he sang something.
Yeah, he sings a song.
He did sing a song.
I'm pretty sure it's Paradise Alley. He sings one of the like the cover song for it. And the only reason I knew that, and it's funny, I've never watched that movie from, you know, soup to nuts. I've never watched it in its entirety. But my sister went on this, for whatever reason, when she was in high school, went on this just bender of Stallone movies. And this was one. I remember she was watching it, and it, that part came on where I hear, I'm like, is that friggin' Stallone singing that song?
Because if you remember, most of the 80s action stars all wanted to sing, like a lot of them. Like,
can you imagine if Stallone, Schwarzenegger had had that, gotten bit by that bug, how awesome
I think
that would have been?
Oh, man. He would be the...
Around.
He'd be fun to listen to.
Like William Shatner?
You got the Eye of the Tiger.
Exactly. But, I mean, like, that was the thing, though. Like,
oh, that'd be beautiful.
And a lot of the films in the 70s, 80s were the underdog films. Like, that was a constant thing.
Well, I'm sure it won't be funny. We ought to do Paradise Alley, because holy crap, Bill Conti, the guy who did the music. I mean, that's the other thing. You got to mention Bill Conti and his music for Rocky. I mean, that is iconic. And
I've actually had a list to do for Forgotten Place for a long time.
Oh, Paradise Alley, okay. Well, we'll put it on. We'll have to maybe bump it up to do. Because Laszlo Kovacs was the cinematographer. I mean, it's got a hell of a... And Stallone wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And as far as I've heard, it's supposedly okay.
Like I said, I saw bits of it as she was watching it, but I don't really recall a lot of it. Armand Asante was in it? Oh, okay, yeah. This would be fun to do. Cool. All right, Archer? Young Ann Archer's in it? Terry Funk. Wasn't he a wrestler?
I think so.
Holy crap.
It is a wrestling
movie. NWA, so. National Wrestling Alliance.
There you go.
Holy crap.
Boom.
Yeah, we got to check it out. Oh, and Joe Spinell is it? Holy crap, man. We should have done it for this.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been in a bunch of Stallone movies. Like the one I mentioned before, Nighthawks with Lando Calrissian.
David Lando. Did I tell you all of a sudden my little 8-year-old, of course he was 7 at the time, we finally watched Empire, and I don't know where this came from. He looks at me and goes, Hey Dad, I'm Kissy Calrissian.
What?
He was doing a
Lando. Kissy Calrissian?
Yeah, because I guess because he took away that Lando was a ladies' man.
Oh, wow.
And so he's like, I'm Kissy Calrissian. And he did it just like, it was like actually a decent Lando impression, you know, for a 7-year-old. Oh, it was great. Sorry.
Did you have Colt 45?
Yeah. That's right.
Better worry. Like,
when I'm playing Kissy Calrissian.
Oof.
Kissy Calrissian.
I get my mojo working.
All right. So here's the thing. We have managed to completely and utterly bypass 5, except for the one line about, Daryl, what is it?
Touch me and I'll sue.
Other than that, we have, I think, completely bypassed 5. Here's the thing. Other than Balboa, that's the only other one that I had an inkling. I was like, you know what? Part of me feels as if I should give that movie another chance.
Well,
it shows the turn of his son in becoming a dick.
Wait, that was his real son, too, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Yes. Yeah. And
so it showed the turn.
That's because it was actually, like I texted you guys, it was better than I remembered. But you have to kind of, I've been binging on Rocky this week. and I actually had a plan for it. I watched all the 5 movies in a row. Well, not on the same day, of course, but one each day. And then I purposely went 2 days without, because there's how many years is it between the 5th and Rocky Balboa?
So
there's
basically each day was a decade for you.
No, because the first Rocky movies, basically all the 5 of them, they start up where the last one left it.
Okay.
Right after.
Like, and right after.
Mm-hmm.
And in Rocky Balboa, there we come in a bunch of years later. So that's why I paused between those two. But anyway, what I was going to, the 5th one, if you take out all the fighting and the Tommy gun, the machine gun or whatever the hell he called himself, all that, and you just focus on the on Rocky and the family stuff.
There's a lot of that, isn't it?
Yeah, like, because also, that's when he...
Rocky wanted to do... I think Sylvester Stallone wanted to show kind of the what could happen, what happens to a lot of the fighters.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
after they fought for so long.
Yeah, this is the one where he finds out he has brain damage, and if he gets hit again, he will. And that's kind of where he sees his whole life fall apart, because now he can't fight ever again.
Well, they strip him of everything.
Like, isn't it the one where Polly, it turns out, like, completely squandered all of his money?
Yes, he signed all of that.
Really pissed me off.
Signed all of it.
That really annoyed me.
Took all his money. That did annoy me, too, because I'm like, you're not living in my house.
Oh, no, yeah, I would not. Look, it's fine. Be forgiving. Be forgiving, but don't be an idiot. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 18,000 times.
Rocky, it also goes to show Rocky's kindness, even to the point of
being stupid.
It's detrimental to himself and his family because he let this dude, like, he never kicks Paulie out of his life, no matter how terrible he is to Rocky, even to the point where in Balboa, when Paulie is like being just the most dickish he can be because Rocky is it's pretty much walking every year on an anniversary,
they do a tour
of their life, and he has Paulie do it. And so it's funny because it's almost like in the thing you're like, is it that Rocky? I'm like, why are you dragging Paulie to do this when you know he's going to be a dick the entire night?
That's part of it, though. That's part of the effect.
Then the part in my mind is like, is this your way of punishing him every year? For being such a dick.
See, I was thinking, is that because Paulie is just consistently such a dick and always has been? That's part of the nostalgia. It's sort of embedded into the nostalgic experience.
It probably is.
He's the soundtrack. He's like the soundtrack part.
But part of me is he could be that, like, Rocky comes off as not being that bright, but being bright. Like, he's clever, but not clever.
Yes.
Like, he's thought of as not being intelligent, but he's very clever.
Yes.
And part of that could be, like, I think it, every watching him do this the entire night, it makes me really think he's part of him wants Paulie to feel guilty for all the dick you've done to your sister and for all those years. Like, I'm going to remind you because you deserve it. Like, you need to never forget how you treated your sister when she was alive. And then to the point where he broke down. He's like, I can't do this anymore, Rocky. I don't you get it? Like, and that was the poignant scene, like, for Paulie to be like, I can't, like, you loved her. So you could look at those memories and
I can't. Yeah.
And look fondly on them because you loved my sister. You treated my sister like, you know, like a princess. Me, I was a damn, you know, like, I treated her so badly. And then he throws in that extra, like, that extra hit when Rocky says, Adrian loved you, you know. Like, that was that extra, like...
Yeah, just to bring home the point of how awful it was that you did that. Yeah,
like,
yeah, but I don't know if you saw the DVD I have. There's a couple of deleted scenes. And one of them is when... After Paulie has lost his job and he walks through the restaurant and they go out to that back alley.
Free booze.
Actually, that's where Paulie breaks down completely and crying and says he misses his sister so much and everything. Yeah. But you kind of get that anyway, even though he says he was bad there. You know that Paulie misses
his sister. Well, the anger is all of that. Like, in the anger, it's part of it. It's just that he, like, even in Rocky 1 and 2, even when there's a, in Rocky 1 especially, there's a scene where Rocky is, this is the happiest he's ever, not because of the fighting, it's because he got Adrian. Like, that's found the love of his life, and he was there. He got the courage to take her out, and they are now together, and they're happy, and he sees it. And you know Paulie's part of that whole thing of Paulie is, I have nothing. Like, this dude, this bum.
He wanted to destroy everything.
Right. This bum. Well, Paulie, like, he goes through changes. Like, first, Paulie is like, I'm your friend, but I don't want you to be happy. But at the same time, I don't want you to be happy because I'm
He's
not
like a
happy.
Toxic friend.
Right. So when he sees them together, he flips out. He gets drunk and he's like, I want you out, because it just, it angers him so much to see that love that he had. And he tried, like, yeah. Paulie tried to, he even tried to imply that he gave his sister to Rocky.
Oh yeah, yeah. I gave it to you. Yeah,
like it just
because he, sister.
Because he just wants to be. Paulie wants to be the hero. Like throughout the entire thing of yeah. all of Rocky's, he all always wanted to be the hero.
You know who he's the hero to? His robot.
That was
In four.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why he signed that deal, because he thought it was such a great deal. He was going to bring money into the. Yeah. Family, and he thought he would be the, you know, the champion of the family, bringing in this money, and lost everything for them. So
he didn't even want to take responsibility for that.
No,
it wasn't me. It was him. Why are you blaming it on me?
You should have known how to read. It's not my fault. Yeah. It's your fault. Like even in the whole thing of. Like, I think, you know, like, I think Stallone wanted to kind of take all that, you know, the trimming, everything that Rocky had, all the comforts that he had, and just strip it down. He doesn't have any money anymore. He can't fight anymore. Even in that, Rocky just keeps, he wants him in that same position of having to be able to take crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's that constant thing of I'm throwing all this crap at Rocky and he's still standing tall and he's still kind to people and he's still like trying to, you know, live his life and be there for his family. I mean, he neglects his son a little bit, but it wasn't like I don't care about you, kid. I'm training this dude. Like he just was trying to help this guy. He didn't want money. He didn't even care about money, but he just was trying to help this boxer, this kid.
Yeah, and I think that also has to come into play with that. That's the only way he can actually be involved with it again, because he can't fight.
We haven't even gotten into how the character of Adrian, how she got stronger each film.
Yes,
like even in the third one, when she looks at Rocky and this dude, she sees it like no one else sees it, because they don't know Rocky like she knows him, because you know, she sees inside of him. They kind of keep that love story in that part where Apollo doesn't get it. Like Apollo's just like, you were faster than this before. Like you hit harder than this. Like what is going on that you're not as good as you used to be. You're not losing it yet. So what's the problem? When Adrian takes him aside,
she knows.
And basically said, you're scared. You are scared.
Yep.
And breaks him down and strips him. She strips all that stuff away from him.
She's almost the unsung hero of the entire series.
She is.
Yes, she is.
She really is, because she takes all of that, like everything. She takes it all, strips it down, still loves him. She's still there for him. But she, you know, makes him face himself. Like he doesn't want to face that he's scared. And she just totally takes charge and is like, look, like I know I don't want you to fight this dude, but if you're gonna fight him, you better win.
Yeah.
Like you're not going in there defeated. I'm not gonna have you going in there defeated, because you're no good to me then. I don't want you to get killed. I want you to go in there warrior, mm-hmm. as a warrior, mm-hmm. ready to fight, ready to battle. So that, and that she did that. And then the next Rocky, whenever they lose everything, she's still, you know, like she's still that. Well, when they Drago, and then the whole thing with Drago, she kind of is supporting him then. And even though she doesn't want him to do this thing and die. He needs to do this, like he needs to do this, she says, okay, we're off. We're going to, you know, like I'm not going to, there's never a time where she's like, if you do this, I'm out. Like she's always his backbone.
Yeah.
She's
like, she's always there.
And she's the glue that keeps Rocky together, basically.
Even when they lose everything, like when they lose the money, and then she's like, all right, I'll go right back to working like to go back to working at the pet shop.
Yeah.
To go from being rich to go back to working at the pet shop.
To that.
She never ever complained about it. Yeah. Like, he's like, this is not
what. Yeah, he's bitching.
This
yeah.
is not your life. Like, this is not what I wanted for you. She never even said to him, "You effed this up, and now we're here. Like, this is where we are." Never was that. Like, this never made him feel small. Like,
yeah, you're right. And I think honestly, you cannot say enough about Talia Shire's performance, because it could so easily be this one dimensional character, right, who just, you know,
it's just in the background.
Yeah,
could just have stayed awkward. Like, could she?
Yeah, just stands by her man and just stands right. her quiet. No, I mean, I love in the first Rocky when she finally unloads on Polly. She just comes out of that. She just explodes. Up to that point, she was so. I mean, she wasn't just shy. She had social anxiety. No. I mean, she was. She needed to be on meds. I mean, she had a problem she was dealing with. And when she finally comes into her own, it's great. And then, even though at the very end she's still reserved,
right? Yeah,
you know, she's there with him, and she's in a place she probably never would have thought she would. And she looks so much more vibrant than she did at the beginning. And I don't know about you guys, but honestly,
Paulie hated it.
Oh, he did. He hated it.
He saw it.
And I don't know how you experienced this movie. And I've seen the first, I don't know how many times I've seen that movie. You know, three dozen, four dozen. I don't know. This time I'm sitting there, he starts yelling for her. Bill Conti's music is kicking up, all the people, you know, the da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and just he's screaming for her. And dude, I'm getting all like, my kids are there. I'm just like, I'm about to blink the eyes. I'm like, oh God, it's dusty. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, what's great with these two characters is, I mean, he brings out the best in her. Yeah. And she brings out the
gaps
in him.
They fill gaps.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So when you take that away, by the time we get to Bubba, you take that away.
Oh, my God.
It's still there.
I miss her so damn much in that movie.
Yeah, you do. But they make that, her memory is all in and out.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
Like all of it. The flashback.
Yeah, I mean, and everything. And the way, and what he, well, what they do so good is he misses her so immensely, and that transfers through the screen. You know, just when you see the alarm clock, and he just pushes the button, and you see her picture,
right?
And that's where I thought,
totally. Like that is all that they use the lady who is on there with him. I can't think of her name.
The one who plays Marie.
The one that plays Little Marie.
Yeah.
What she is, she's not there to be a love interest. She's there to be the sounding board for him.
Yes.
To have those conversations with.
That's true. That's really a good point, Daryl. That's exactly who she is.
That's all she is. And then the son is someone that he can, you know, he can kind of be there for and put him in the right direction.
Like Geraldine Hughes. That's the actress who played Marie. Hughes. Now, right. I will say that I am curious. I don't know if either of you know this, and I don't. I'm legitimately asking. This isn't just me doing that obnoxious, you guys know? Talia Shire, did she not want to be in Balboa, or was this a writing decision of, hey, to take this to another level, we got to take something pretty major away from Rocky?
I could have sworn she said she didn't.
She don't want to do
it anymore.
I honestly don't remember.
I think I remember them, something like that. I could be wrong, but I could have sworn I remember her saying she was out the biz for the most part, and she just she was cool, just, you know, chilling with the kids, you know, She didn't. Yeah, she didn't want to come back.
No, and it still works because she is still there. I mean, she's so prominent.
Her spirit infuses the entire
thing. The thing with Creed, I don't want to spoil, but I think we can kind of say it. That sense of that ghost that of her walks with Rocky in Creed as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think that's spoiling it because the continuity with Creed that's is good. Definitely continuing on from Balboa.
Totally. Yeah. Never.
I mean, there are three people who can never that are always there. It's Adrian, it's Rocky, mm-hmm. and it is Paulie.
Except they're there, the aspects needed because of for him. Those things are there. They're all kind of there, and then the way that they handle it in having that there, but at the same time, this is a whole nother character. This is Adonis coming into it with his ghosts and, you know, his father and his, like, issues of trying to get his sense of he's scared of his legacy, but at the same time, he wants it. He wants that. He wants to live up to it, but he's scared to do it. And he meets his own Adrian in the movie, and she's a different Adrian now. This is the whole, you know, like, this woman, she comes at him in a totally different way. This is not the awkward Adrian. This kid is different, so he needed somebody different to deal with him. And she's more of the kick you in the butt type.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not gonna let you, you know, like, fall into your, you know, the negative traps. Like, I'm not going to support that. Like, you got to get out of that. And she was very, like with Rocky, and I think in an updated way, to be able to show their relationship and how they fall in love and how the kindness that he has with her.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, to see Rocky be so nurturing with this kid, because there is that guilt that I should have threw in the towel earlier. Like, that, he always carries that guilt of, even when he talks about Apollo, he always likes to talk about Apollo beating him and how scared he was of Apollo. He never tells stories of how he hit Apollo and he did this and he was tough. Never. It was always that sense of Apollo was a better fighter than I would ever be. And that guilt. And because he holds it. He holds that guilt of, I'd rather have had my friend still alive than to not. So he still blames himself. So that's in it as well. But then also in that is that by talking to this kid and kind of, I don't know, like, they divide this child, this kid who grew up in foster homes first before he came to live with Creed's wife, and then she became his mother. Like, she did that. To have that life, he's lived that life that Rocky had to live. Like, he that anger, that situation of being a fighter, like, of having to constantly fight to survive, he's touched some of that. He's had a bit of it. He's had a bit of it to the point where he can understand when Rocky is telling him, this is a fight for your life type of thing. Like, you have to go in it. Like, when you're going to go to a point where this is going to show whether you have it, like, whether you have it or not. Like, this battle is your true test, where you're going to have, there's always going to be a fighter who's going to have that fight where you learn whether you're going to be someone who could become a champion or somebody who's just going to stop fighting or just never reach that level because you just don't have it. And and Adonis is able to get it, mm-hmm. like, because of that life he lived early.
You're going to make me, like, cry here on the podcast.
It's just the way he, and at the same time, you know, like, he's telling this kid, I don't want you to do, you, like, I want you to have a life. Like, I don't want you to not have a life like I do. Even though when Rocky talks about, you know, like, being alone now and missing his wife, even though he talks about it in such a way that you feel there's a sadness to it to a point, but then there's also that sense of, I've done everything that I wanted to do, and I've met the love of my life, and I've felt that love, I'm good. Like when I finally lay down to rest, I don't have regrets of what I've done. Like I don't sit there saying, you know, I wish I'd done this or I love that woman the best that I could ever love her. And I was as good to her as I could ever be. And she was good to me and we were straight. And I tried to do the best I could with my son, even though he's the dick. But the point is, I tried to instill everything I could instill in this boy and let him know that I'm as proud as I could ever be. He doesn't have to prove himself to me. Love this boy unconditionally. So when I go, like, and that's the thing with Rocky. Like, you feel that when he plays that character. It's like, when you go, when he goes, like, not a lot of us can't feel that way. You know, like, that is something where you could pass on and not feel regret. Like that sense of it could be sad to others, but at the same time to be able to lay down and say to yourself, like, I can go.
You fought a good fight.
I've fought all the battles that I could fight. You know, like, but I won the important ones. That not about being a rich dude or the whatever. The important ones were the people that I, you know, that were important to me. They died knowing that I loved them, and I died, you know, knowing that they loved me as well. Like, we're good. So, like, that having all that in Creed, I think it keeps all of that from all the Rocky films, and then at the same time, makes something new.
So the real question is, especially Peter being one that hasn't seen Creed yet, should I add a brief spoiler warning for Creed at the beginning of this episode?
No.
I know you didn't. No,
let me put it this way. If I didn't want to watch it before, I sure as hell do now.
Okay.
Like I think I tried.
You did, but you did. I don't think I was trying to pay attention because as you were talking, I took a nap. And then
I
was trying. Yeah, I know you died. I was actually trying to find just a little bit of trivia for us to wrap this up on, because there's something I found that was interesting related to Talia Shire and why she was not in Balboa. But that being said, I was also trying to really pay attention to, like, okay, yeah, no, I guess it's not technically a spoiler. Okay, no. It's mostly you hit most of the emotional beats of the movie, but you didn't give away the fact that in the end everybody dies.
I mean, that was rough. I was trying not to spoil anything.
You did good. You did good. I'm busting your chops. All right.
And hearing Daryl talk like this about Creed just makes me, even though I've just watched them, makes me actually want to go back and watch them again.
Okay.
I love this franchise. I love this. I love the characters. And following them, like watching them one movie at a time each day, except for that one day when I watched 3 and 4 back to back, you kind of get you get this. You learn to love these people. I mean, you can't not love them. I mean, and hearing Daryl talk like this about the last chapter that I haven't seen.
He hit it. I mean,
And it's like, I love this franchise. I love Rocky.
What's great is when you come out of Creed, you're going to feel like, wow, this now has the potential to go on for maybe 6 more movies, but with a different focal point, and that's okay.
Totally.
Yeah, and I actually hope they do that. But I do want to address, apparently, according to IMDb, Adrian Balboa was in the first few drafts of the script, then titled, this is related to Rocky Balboa, then titled Rocky VI, Puncher's Chance. Don't love that title. At this point, the story revolved around Rocky running a local gym for youths. However, Sylvester Stallone felt that the film lacked the necessary emotional impact it needed. So he and Talia Shire came to an agreement that her character would be best left out of the film, as this would create an emotional chasm for Rocky from the very first moment of the film. To ensure that fans did not think she had been written out of the film because of a dispute with Stallone or because she refused to be in it, Shire made a public statement supporting Stallone's decision to kill off the character. So assuming that's accurate, that's interesting. And that makes sense because it didn't feel like, because, like, for instance, I know Carl Weathers had originally wanted to be in Balboa, but that's kind of difficult since he's dead.
Right.
And so because, because they wouldn't allow him, I guess, to be in whatever capacity he wanted to be in, he refused to even let them use footage. of him. So I guess they said they used a bot for the, when you do see clips of him and Balboa fighting, it's a body double. Right. So that's a dispute situation, potentially. I mean, a mild dispute. Whereas with Talia Shire, it seemed very organic, that it seemed like it kind of, something major needed to happen like that, or it wouldn't have had the sense of gravity and weight to the story that it has. One other side note through trivia as I was reading through this is like, okay. In one of the original, come on, where'd you go? No, find it. Hold on. There it is. In earlier drafts of the screenplay, Rocky's former opponents Clubber Lang and Ivan Drago had cameo appearances. Clubber would have been a ringside commentator for the bout with Dixon and made disparaging remarks about Rocky. Okay, I can dig that. This is the one that's messed up. The scene with Drago had Rocky visiting him in a hospital where he is dying of AIDS from steroid abuse. Supposedly, Rocky would have told a nurse, "If he dies, he dies." The same line Drago said about Apollo Creed.
I would never see that. Rocky would never
see that. Hell no.
He would never do that.
Rambo. I could see Rambo.
Yeah.
That's just being tough.
Yeah. That's just talking tough. Like, if anything, if they had put Drago in it, I would see Rocky treating him like he'd do Spider. Like, he would just help him out.
Yeah. And especially if the guy's dying of AIDS, for God's sake. Yeah,
he would be I would see him reading the newspaper to the dude.
Like, sitting
there talking to him while he's in a coma.
Yeah, but I guess that's what I'm saying. So he goes to, it says there, Rocky in the script visits him in the hospital. And then would have told a nurse, if he dies, he dies.
I think that last part was let's throw it in and see what happens. But I don't think that would have made it into the movie.
But I'm saying, like, it seems completely out of character for Rocky.
Yeah, totally.
It seems like it's a dick move, Rocky, no matter who
says. That's
why
scripts are rewritten.
Oh, my God. That was written, by the way, written in 3 days. Just kidding.
Yeah.
So do we want to, real quick, because we're pretty deep into this one now, do we want to do a very quick breakdown from our, I wouldn't say it's from a best to worst, because that's not fair, quite honestly, because a lot of these are great. I think maybe saying, like, your most rewatchable, like, top down. Like,
wow.
Can you guys do that, or do you feel like that's too much pressure and you don't want to do that?
No, I think I would, Rocky 1 and 2 and 3, I probably can watch.
Not 4, really?
Oh, 4. I guess 4.
It's, I mean, look, it's not a great, it's
I
not a perfect
movie.
I mean, it's Apollo's death, so I get, yeah.
To me, 4, it's like the ultimate, like, popcorn 80s action. It's sort of like a Rambo 2 type movie. It's not, you acknowledge it's not a great movie, but it's entertaining as hell.
But then I find myself, when I watch the 4, then I want to watch 5 because it's part of the story of these characters.
And then,
like, so basically, watch 1 through 6.
It's difficult. It's like, it's basically watch 1. Creed, I could probably watch out of order because I watched all the other ones so many times.
Sure, you got to catch up with that one now.
It's like Creed. If anything, Balboa and Creed, I could watch back to back.
Okay, that's fair.
Because they're so...
Yeah, they are. They are tied together. They feel like they're in the same...
They're tied, yeah.
The same way 1 and 2 is... And 3 and 4 have an aesthetic that's very similar. 5 is really the one that stands out the most as far as being...
There's only one person in Rocky Balboa that takes me out of that film. There's this late girl. She's supposed to be like the next Little Marie, I guess.
Yeah.
At the bar. She's got the breast.
Does she want to tries to take advantage of him to buy her drinks?
Yeah.
She was she was not an actress at all. I listened to a little bit of Stallone's commentary.
Did you say no crap?
Yeah, but she was off the street. She was just and she used her real name. Her name was Angie, I think.
Uh-huh.
It was a real name, and she was as street as she could be. So,
there should have been someone to say, "All right, you want her in the movie, but she can't. Don't have her play something without talking."
Yeah, just let her.
Because her scenes, I know that what they're trying to do with her scenes is he inspired her to, you know, like, look, Little Marie was inspired to do better.
Sure.
That could have came off a lot better than it did, but because you had such a weak... Because you're acting like... Sylvester Stallone and Balboa, he's acting. Like, he came into it, like, ready to go. Like, he's acting his ass off. The little Marie is acting.
It's still natural.
Yes, little Marie is natural. She's acting. Paulie is being...
Well, Burt Young's a good call.
Like,
well, Burt Young's just a great actor. He's a good actor.
Yes. So he's doing his thing. Like, even Spider is Spider. Like,
I like Spider.
Yeah, like, even Spider comes off as Spider. The only issue is that every time she talks, it's like, why
it's
is
grinding.
She in this movie?
So then I guess what really we came away from this understanding is you guys kind of like these movies.
Nah.
Okay. So, gentlemen, will you like to tell them where they can find you, Daryl, besides this podcast and when it comes back, Forgotten Flicks?
You can find me at Tale of Not Real Podcast. Right now, we are going to take a little break until like January, February.
So you're only doing 28 shows right now, then?
No. You shut up.
But like so, you did last year.
So yeah, to retool the website, it'll be the same site address. It'll just be.
So you're not dropping the of. We're still stuck with the preposition.
You shut up.
I was just gonna say that. don't go there.
So we're probably gonna retool some shows that are on the network and add a couple new ones and
of
stuff.
Of course you are. Because it wouldn't be a new year if Daryl didn't do 18 more shows.
The numbers will stay the same. It would just be some shows will become other shows.
Okay.
It's going to morph. It's going to be some of that. But either way, it's going to make it easier to record the scheduling.
Nice. Very cool. All right. So Taylor Network of Podcasts. Find more Daryl action. Peter. Yes. They can find you at Forgotten Flicks. Is there anything else? ForgottenFlicks.com, of course. And anything else you'd want to pimp? Anything else you want to push? Anything else you want to reveal?
Whoa. Like what?
I don't know.
I don't want to reveal myself.
Stay on target.
We have guests here.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
No, they can find me, like you said, on ForgottenFlicks.com. We will return.
Yes.
With some greatness and some maybe not so greatness.
Don't prejudge. Don't be a prejudge. And of course, I can be found here, Retro Movie Geek, ForgottenFlicks.com, blah, blah, blah.
We'll all be here.
Yes, we will. We will all be here. And we may have a guest here and there. And don't forget your voicemail.
Who's going to do me?
Voicemails.
Oh, by the way, that sounded really weird.
Yes, sorry, it did. But here's the thing. We have to give a tease so when people do leave voicemails that they can tell us their thoughts on...
Next time on Retro Movie Geek.
And what you guys didn't hear was I inserted a little clip from our next movie, which is Sharky's Machine.
Yes.
Now, you could make the argument that could go on Forgotten Flicks, I think. But I think the focal point is Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
It's the Stash Man.
Now, we're doing Sharky's Machine, and why are we doing Cannonball Run or Smokey and the Bandit? Well, because these two guys
we want to do Sharky's Machine.
They wanted to do it. I've never seen it. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I've seen the other ones. So I'm down.
Yes. You have to watch Sharky's Machine.
Well, I will have after.
And I'll take any excuse to just watch it again for the umpteenth time.
And we will be discussing in that episode not only Sharky's Machine, but our favorite Burt Reynolds stachioed performances.
Oh, okay.
And maybe non-stachioed, because he has a couple where I don't think he has a stash in Longest Yard.
Navajo. No, and not Deliverance. Navajo either.
Deliverance?
No, and... No, Deliverance is stachio-less.
Stoker Ace? Was he is Stroker or Stoker? Stroker Ace?
What?
that was the racing one, right?
Great. Yeah, I know what. Yeah, I know which one. That was with...
Lonnie Anderson?
Lonnie Anderson, yeah. That didn't end well, did it?
No.
The movie or the relationship?
No, the movie ended well, but the relationship, that was bad. Yeah.
Okay. And Cop and a Half. He had a stash in Cop and a Half.
Yeah, Navajo Joe, he didn't
I
have
I couldn't a, save that film. Even the stash.
You haven't seen Navajo Joe?
He plays an Indian. No.
No.
Well, he was part. He's part Cherokee, right?
Yes.
So there you have it. That is next week on Retro Movie Geek. Gentlemen, as we would say on Forgotten Flicks, any final words?
Yo, Adrian, we did it.
Hey, Buckus.
The toughest opponent is yourself.
Hey, Adrian, what happens when you knock on a turtle shell? You get shell shock. Get it?
She did laugh at that.
Next time on Retro Movie Geek.
Orion Pictures presents Burt Reynolds in Sharky's Machine.
If you don't get out now, I'm going to have to call the police.
I am the police. Sharky, Vice.
They were just street cops until they teamed up with Sharky and became Sharky's Machine.
Seven ladies. One's got her hooks into Hodgkin's, and that's the one the department won't let us touch on. Doesn't that tell you anything?
$1,000 a night. Is that right? Is that what they get?
I want to watch it. Found the clock.
Who?
Domino with an E.
Domino.
It's a waste. You, busting hookers. The last casualty they had in Vice was a suicide.
What the hell are we doing?
Well, we're here to arrest certain... that might be offering to perform sexual acts for money.
The man with the smiling eyes.
Sharky, Vice.
Low-life creep.
Even if there is one guy squeezing his town, he's too high to reach.
Great reputation here.
Slave trade. They buy him, kidnap him, then they break him down. Drugs, rape, whatever the hell it takes, then they sell him.
Who is that? Tim and his brother, Albert Spirelli.
You're an outcast about to lose that badge of yours.
You're a strange guy, Sharky.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
You know, you got a big communication problem here, Sharky.
He wants you dead.
Then I am dead.
Where is Domino?
You should have just brought the girl in.
Nobody leans on Sharky's Machine.
Thanks for listening. Visit RetroMovieGeek.com and be sure to leave us voicemail feedback. You can share your thoughts by calling 484-577-3876. That's 484-57-RETRO. This show is a proud member of the Movie Podcast Network, where you can hear other great shows like Movie Podcast Weekly, Horror Movie Podcast, Movie Streamcast, The Sci-Fi Podcast, Geekcast Live, Retro Movie Geek, and Forgotten Flicks. For more, check out moviepodcastnetwork.net. Love movies? Then you'll love the Movie Podcast Network.
I get my mojo working.